Los Angeles is falling apart. Social cohesion has completely disappeared. Homelessness has reached crisis levels, and now wildfires have devastated a massive part of the city. But as many are aware, LA should have been well prepared for these fires. It's the second largest city in the US and one of the richest in the world. The city was famous for being a beacon of culture and hope. And these fires come on a yearly basis just like clockwork. That's why all the way back in the 70s, the city built massive reservoirs and strengthened itself against destruction for decades. But today, with LA richer than it's ever been and with more resources than it's ever had access to, these exact defenses failed. In some cases, the water supply lasted for less than a day. Fire hydrants quickly ran dry, and the reservoirs specifically built to save the city had sat empty for over a year. Things just don't add up. Corruption and endless red tape left the city unprepared and robbed tens of thousands of their homes. Meanwhile, insurance industry lobbyists lobbied the politicians. They blocked laws that would expose their corruption while selling out the people they were meant to represent. While the media ostensibly blamed climate change, the catastrophic fall of Los Angeles was about greed and human error that doomed people's homes. And now the scorched land is being bought up for pennies on the dollar in a literal fire sale. The insurance companies have also been allowed to pass the cost of rebuilding back onto the people. So let's dive straight in and expose this truly corrupt system that's both causing and profiting LA's fiery collapse, and why the planned destruction of LA is deliberate. You see, imagine you're running an insurance company and you want to make money out of LA. On the one hand, it's literally prime real estate. With one of the most expensive real estate markets in the world, there's billions to be made. But it isn't as simple as it first seems. On the other hand though, the area goes through a fire season every single year, and the repairs cost billions every single time. So how do you make as much money as possible from this? Well, step one is to raise the rates as high as you can. Even just in the past year, insurance companies operating in California have been raising their rates to record levels. In the wake of the fire, State Farm, the largest insurance company in the US, asked to raise the rates this year by an average of 22%. The figure also includes a staggering 38% increase for renters. For many people, it's just too much. One Californian homeowner interviewed by CBS said that the bill went up by nearly $2,000 in just a single year, up 87% from the roughly $3,000 they paid the year before. For his family, it means postponing their vacations and tightening the budget everywhere else to even hope to afford it. In a country where nearly 60% of people have less than $1,000 in savings, this is just not feasible. But this isn't anything new. If you really want to make money, then you need to raise the rates every year, and that's what California's insurance companies have been doing. In 2020 alone, rate hikes by insurance companies in California range from around 7% to over 40% in some cases. This conspiracy to extract profit poisons the entire city. Rising insurance prices have a knock-on effect on the housing market, for example. First, they add far more to mortgages, making it much harder for existing homeowners to afford a life in LA. This also makes it much harder for new buyers to get onto the market. When you only get offers for insurance policies that cost thousands or tens of thousands every year, it puts previously affordable homes out of reach. Every time the rates go up, more people lose their homes and face destitution. Of the thousands of residents living in tent cities across LA, tons would live much better lives if they hadn't been pushed out of the system. So if you're an insurance company, you've been raising rates as high as you can, but you still have a few problems. First, you have to pay out literally billions when there's a particularly bad fire. The whole goal for an insurance company is to pay out as few policies as possible while raking in as much in premiums as you can. And because of this, people do start getting angry when they can't access a basic necessity like home insurance. One homeowner from the Pacific Palisades area, called Francis Bichetti, saw his premiums go from $4,500 to $18,000 in 2024. With no way to fight the decision and no way to make his case heard, he was all out of options. He couldn't afford it and had to cancel, leaving him to try and protect his house against fires all on his own. When the fire did eventually come and destroy his home a year later, he of course had no financial protection. Meanwhile, they solely blame the wildfires and climate change for the massive price increases in their policies. Despite this though, the company increased their net worth by $3.5 billion in 2023. So where is all of this money coming from if it's apparently so expensive to insure Los Angeles? Well, the money that goes towards rebuilding people's lives could buy you a new yacht instead. If you're the CEO of an insurance company or one of their major shareholders, we all know what you'd prefer. So how do you keep on raking these huge profits when there are so many legitimate claims in the aftermath of a fire? Well, this is why step two is pretty simple on the face of it. You have to abandon as many customers as possible who might actually make a claim, and they've been hard at work on this. What would happen if you threw your vape all the way from a giant skyscraper? Well, you might want to find out once you've tried Fume. Fume is an award-winning flavored air device that draws flavor to your mouth and not your lungs. It's a really great way to satisfy your oral fixation with non-toxic flavors, all free from nicotine or vapor, and it's safe to use anywhere. And Fume's design is also about more than just flavor. It's an awesome fidget tool with magnets and clicks that help calm anxiety. And you'll love how Fume feels. With its premium quality sleek design, it's just perfect for taking with you anywhere on the go. And you see, flavored air isn't like vaping. If vaping was compared to sticky soda, Fume cores are closer to herbal teas. Fume has lots of delicious flavors to choose from, like crisp mint and orange vanilla. All of this flavored air with no electronics, no vapor or combustion. It's a perfect alternative to vaping and quitting vaping, as you can literally use this anywhere with no nicotine and no vapor, meaning it's completely not addictive. Personally, my favorite flavor is the crisp mint one. It's just so refreshing and satisfying without any of the harmful effects you'd associate with other habits. Fume has already helped over 300,000 people build better habits. So try Fume today, and if you order the Journey Pack now using my code MOON, you'll get a free Fume topper, a really awesome accessory to level up your experience. So go to tryfume.com/moon or scan the QR code on screen now. Between 2020 and 2022, California's insurance companies declined to renew 2.8 million policies, according to CNN. Over 500,000 of them were in LA. People who have had the same insurance policy for decades often find out that it's suddenly been cancelled just before the fire season. One couple in their 90s had their insurance cancelled after living in their property for 75 years, and an interview with their daughter went viral.
They're 90 years old. They've lived in this house for 75 years, and they've had the same insurance, and these insurance people decided to cancel their fire. And we're going through this, and it just happened, and they have no fire insurance.
But you can't just cancel random policies. To make the most money, you need to figure out a cold calculating system to identify the most expensive policies to pay out, which homes are more at risk, and which cancellations will make you the most money in the long run. Before, this was an expensive process requiring boots on the ground, and it was dependent on cold calculating insurance agents who got to decide who should lose their protection. Today, you can just use AI to automate the entire thing, and suddenly it's a very simple process, because the more data you have, the better. They can then use this information about previous fires, how the winds in California spread them, and which policies are the most expensive to pay out compared to the rates you charge. On the face of it, you can see how these factors would lead to lots of affordable single-family homes getting their policies cancelled, which is exactly what happened. Using algorithms and AI can make this process much smoother and can make you far more money. We can't actually confirm this is what they're using it for, but that's only because insurance lobbyists have blocked laws which could expose how they use AI. The bill was actually called SB 1229, and it stated that insurance companies would have to, quote, disclose to an applicant or insured when it used artificial intelligence to make decisions on, or make decisions that affect applications and claims review. The insurance companies didn't like this, and they expressed it through one of their political lobbyist groups, the Personal Insurance Federation of California. This organization is shady to the core, blanketing its website with stock photos of happy people sitting in front of things they insure. Meanwhile, they're using their 1,500-strong workforce to directly interfere with people's best interests. This was their response to Bill SB 1229, as televised in a local news investigation into the industry.
SB 1229 would have required insurance companies to disclose to an applicant if AI was used to make decisions on their application or claim. It failed.
It's unsurprising that politicians would listen more to these lobbyists than the needs of their people. The lobbyists are part of the system bankrolling their elections. The state senator was one of the Democratic senators who voted against this bill, and when questioned about it by local news, she gave this telling response.
Consumer advocates argue this bill aimed to increase transparency. Do you agree that was the intention?
You know, you're asking me to remember what happened in a hearing that was a number of months ago. Transparency is good, but just for transparency's sake, that doesn't do you any good if there's no insurance companies.
She says that she doesn't remember, and that transparency isn't good all the time. It certainly isn't good for her in this specific situation, or for the companies deciding the fate of people's livelihoods. But all of this is the face of the corruption at the heart of Los Angeles. Greedy decisions made by lawmakers to prioritize their funders over the people they're meant to represent. It's a multi-million dollar conspiracy, all in plain view. The state senator alone received over $1 million from the insurance industry, and she's one of seven state senators overseeing these laws, a very small group of people considering their massive amount of power over so many people's lives. The chairman of the committee is Susan Rubio, a Democrat from Baldwin Park. She's recently been reappointed as the chairman, despite being embroiled in a corruption probe based on a different bribery scandal. So if you're an insurance company looking to make sure you can continue your schemes, you only need a few of these people in your pocket for almost full control of the system. But if that isn't enough, you can always go further up the chain. A great example of this is a bill called AB 970, and that would have extended insurance to places at the most risk of fire damage. Normally, bills that could potentially hurt the insurance companies never make it past the committee. Of 32 different insurance bills proposed during the recent legislative year, the only ones that passed had support from the insurance industry. But this one was different. It made it through the Assembly, and it even got past the Senate, each time getting tons of votes in its favor. But then it would land on Governor Gavin Newsom's desk for the final stamp. But instead of approving it, he vetoed the bill instead. Here's the last line of an impenetrable defense for the insurance industry. 2 years before, he vetoed another similar bill called AB 2450, which would have forced the government to lower fire insurance costs for homeowners in high-risk areas. But instead, the bills went sharply up, as we've already seen, and ended up forcing even more people to go without. So you put up the rates as high as you can, you kicked as many people off their policies as you can, all by greasing up a few pockets and manipulating the most powerful people in the city. But what do you do with all of the people who get kicked off their policies and can't afford or aren't offered a new one? Well, you need something that looks like you're not really dooming people's homes to be destroyed without any way for them to rebuild their lives. Something that gives the illusion of another option, a safety net. But of course, you don't actually want to be responsible for insuring their homes. This grand conspiracy needs a fool guy, something to point to when you say that you're still taking care of people. Well, that's why step 3 is all about using those political connections to poke holes in the safety net and make sure that you're never actually on the hook. In California, this is called the FAIR Plan. Designed as a last-ditch resort for people denied of all other home and fire insurance, the scheme was meant to offer a bare essentials package. The deal was that insurance companies operating in Los Angeles could drop their customers, but they had to be responsible for the FAIR Plan coverage that people got as a replacement. While this might not offer full protection for the people forced onto it, it is meant to at least prevent them from losing everything. It worked this way since the 1960s, when the measure was introduced, and for decades it served an essential purpose. But recently, with insurance companies dropping more and more people, the FAIR Plan got massively overstretched. And before the January fires happened, the FAIR Plan had around $300 million in the bank and an extra $2.5 billion in reinsurance. It sounds like a lot until you consider how crazy the LA property market has gotten and how much damage the fire caused. Some estimates are putting the total insured cost of the fire at a staggering $30 billion. Others put this as high as $40 billion. Of those losses, over $5 billion are covered by the FAIR Plan, in the Palisades and Eaton areas alone. This means that the FAIR Plan is likely to come up short, and this is a massive problem if you're running one of those insurance companies. Or at least it would have been if you didn't do step 3. Last July, around 6 months before the fires, the insurance industry used their political meddling to pass the cost back onto their customers. They spend the rest of their year pushing through a law that lets them charge their customers thousands of dollars each to make up for the gap in the FAIR Plan. The exchange that was meant to happen was that they would begin taking on more customers again, but the timing couldn't have been better for them. The ink was barely dry on the new deal when the fires began, and now it's estimated that California's homeowners could see added charges on their insurance bills ranging from $1,000 to nearly $4,000 each, depending on how much money the FAIR Plan ends up needing. This is on top of a very recent $1 billion bailout given to the FAIR Plan to keep it afloat, at least for now. And guess where the money for that is coming from? There's a legitimate threat here that the whole system could collapse under the weight of the damages. Everyone seems terrified that the insurance companies could go belly up, ignoring the fact that they've been using these fires to raise their premiums for years now. Both the insurance industry and California's government have blamed climate change for the fires, and it's definitely true that might have made them harder to deal with, but it still doesn't excuse the lack of preparation. And as we peel away the last layer of this rotten onion, the levels of incompetence will make it seem like they wanted the fires to get this bad. Shortly after the fires began, it was all over social media that the hydrants were running dry. While the mainstream news tried to suppress the story at first, the scale of the damages and the lack of resources for first responders was impossible to hide forever. In the Palisades area where some of the worst damage happened, firefighters were unable to beat back the blaze. Part of the reason for this was unavoidable. Particularly strong winds made it impossible to fight the fire from the air, but when the water ran out on the ground, it was entirely avoidable. This should never have happened. The city built a massive 117 million gallon reservoir near the Palisades area to help deal with the wildfires. But when the fire inevitably came, the Santa Ynez Reservoir was bone dry. Instead, the firefighters were left to rely on 3 million gallon tanks to draw water from. But they barely lasted 24 hours before the pressure wasn't high enough to be usable. The reason that the reservoir is empty is as ridiculous as it is tragic, as it fully puts into perspective the rot at the heart of LA. The reservoir itself is perfectly functional, but it was discovered over a year before the floating cover on top of the reservoir was slightly torn. What should have been a quick repair, estimated to cost under $100,000, stretched into months and then over a year. The city had to have a lengthy auction over who got to repair the cover. During that period, it was decided that the reservoir should be completely drained. And what's worse is that the cover that started the whole problem wasn't even really necessary. It was only deemed essential because of a 2008 change in environmental laws. Before that, the reservoir worked perfectly fine without it. This $100,000 issue is likely to have cost the area billions in damages and thousands more of its homes. And it's not the only case of this hilarious political incompetence costing the city dearly. The fires would have been a lot less destructive if flammable brush had been properly cleared from LA's forests. LA actually charges residents if they try to clear the brush on state land. They also put harsh penalties on people who don't clear it on their own land as well. But at the same time, the responsibility to deal with the state-owned land is shared by lots of different departments, all working on their own schedules. It's a bureaucratic nightmare. Clearing this flammable debris properly would have slowed the fire down considerably and saved thousands of homes. But it just didn't get done. A 2020 report into this issue, which has come up time and time again, has been mostly ignored by state officials. Which then leads us on to the final question. Why would the city's officials and the state of California let this happen? Well, the answer is that it doesn't affect them. The insurance industry and other lobbyists that pay the officials don't care. They've got it all worked out, as we've seen, so that they're never really on the hook for disasters when they actually happen. The politicians don't care either. California is so firmly Democrat that most of the state senators and elected officials never have to worry about their re-election campaigns. Their only allegiances are to their fellow party members and their lobbyist financial backers. As long as they keep them happy, they're pretty much untouchable. In fact, there's lots of powerful people that will benefit from the fires. Before the fires had even ended, people who lost their homes started getting cold calls and offers to buy the land for pennies on the dollar. There are tons of corrupt property developers salivating over the cheap land on offer now. One plot of land has already been sold off for a fraction of what a house built in it would have cost. Where their homes once stood, they can build luxury condos or mansions for the ultra-rich and make an absolute fortune. This whole tragedy and the conspiracy behind it is a microcosm of what's happening to LA as a whole. Just take one of their many other problems like homelessness and follow the trail of money and you'll see the same sorts of things. You've got people profiting off of the collapse and corrupt officials letting it all happen for a cut of the blood money. They could close down the 10 cities tomorrow. They seemed to do this when Xi Jinping came to California.
And meanwhile, California's governor is pushing back on claims San Francisco cleared out homeless camps specifically for this week's summit. Several world leaders, of course, are joining Presidents Biden and Xi in San Francisco for that summit. Over the weekend, city officials reportedly cleared out areas of the city occupied by homeless camps and public drug markets, some now questioning why now instead of months ago?
But instead, they let all of this fester. People then move out and the property prices go down. Eventually, they move them on, but only after they bought up all the property. This kind of mismanagement is killing both LA and California as a whole. Problems that could have been dealt with long ago just never seem to get fixed. For example, everyone knows that driving in LA is just as painful as it is necessary. You can't get anywhere without a car because there isn't enough public transport, which also means there's just tons of traffic nearly all of the time. However, the East Coast of the US has enjoyed intercity railways for years. You can get from New York to Washington, to Boston, to Philadelphia, all by train. But this just isn't the same in the West. The coverage is really poor, unconnected, and slow. It's why when a high-speed intercity railway stretching across the length of California was proposed in 2008, most people finally breathed a sigh of relief. Estimated to be finished by 2020, the $33 billion rail line was meant to connect LA directly with San Francisco. It would have cut a 9-hour journey on the old train lines to under 3 hours. The potential benefits were endless, and if it had been completed, it could have transformed the city and the state as a whole. At this point, you can guess that it was never finished. And as you would guess, the plan had gone horribly over budget and faced numerous delays, setbacks, and hidden costs. Instead of the $33 billion that was originally proposed, recent estimates now put the total cost of the train line, if it's ever finished, at over $133 billion. While it was meant to finish years ago, even the very first phase of the plan hasn't been built yet. The only part they are building is a small stretch right in the middle between Bakersfield and Merced. And this part isn't going to be finished until 2030 at the earliest, and will nearly cost as much as the entire project was meant to cost, around $20 billion. You can probably guess why the costs have been so high while the results have been so poor. Billions of of dollars have been wasted through meaningless litigation and bureaucracy. Tons of lawsuits have flooded in against the railway. Meanwhile, the highways it's meant to replace remain full of cars. These are the kinds of things that are killing LA, and now it's spreading to the rest of California, which should really be a warning to the rest of the US. Useless bureaucracy, corruption, and incompetence have infected every level of government, and people have used it to enrich themselves at society's expense. This is what's truly behind LA's problems, and it's a mindset that's already spreading across California and to the US as a whole. Gavin Newsom, one of the overseers of this shift, could easily be the Democratic nominee someday. He's become a key figure of the establishment Democrats that still controls the party, despite all of their failures in and out of office. If this happens, it'll represent acceptance of his own destructive, greedy brand of politics. Right now, people are trying to undermine the Trump presidency, and perhaps rightly so, as they fear a slide into authoritarianism and oligarchy, which is a very valid point, especially with all the recent stuff going on. But if the established Democrats can't understand and confront their own incompetence and corruption, they'll never regain the trust of the people. California and LA particularly show why the past year has been an unmitigated disaster for them, and why people are fleeing LA and California in the droves. And thank you, Fume, for sponsoring this video. Remember to check them out with the link in the description below.